Hi, this is Charisse Kenyon and you're listening to the Beauty Me podcast, all about beauty beyond the BS. This week, I'm talking about a new FX show. It's an 8-part series called Feud, Capote versus the Swans.
We made New York the capital of the world, the center of everything. And who is at the center of that center?
Truman
Capote
is our great protector, our best friend.
We tell him everything, even the awful things we've all done to each other.
It's a show I've been looking forward to seeing forever. And in this episode, as well as sharing background on the stylist new show from Ryan Murphy, I'm also sharing an interview with makeup department head Jackie Risotto. By the way, before I go on, I did ask Jackie how to pronounce her name. It's spelt Risotto. She said it's an Italian name that has been Americanized. So, of course, the way she pronounces it is Risotto. She did say she didn't mind how I said it. Pronunciation is really important to me, especially when I make videos. I'm constantly mentioning Korean and Spanish artists and creatives. But there's also this kind of thing, I don't want to sound like I'm mimicking a name. So that's why I don't say risotto, I say risotto. Anyway, that's a minor. Before we get into the looks, let's talk about the concept of the Feud series and the storyline of Capote versus the Swans. The first series of Feud aired in 2017, and that one was focused on the famous feud between Whatever Happened to Baby Jane co-stars Joan Crawford and Bette Davis. That series focused on the time period when the two huge Hollywood icons were filming the 1962 film and what happened after. And both Susan Sarandon and Jessica Lange were brilliant at playing these feuding actresses. It's a really good series. It's so worth watching. And as you'd expect from any Ryan Murphy production, the styling, the hair and makeup are perfection. If you don't already know Murphy's work, he's the creative brain behind American Horror Story, which is now in its 12th season and stars Kim Kardashian, as well as my favorite series, The Assassination of Gianni Versace. So based on that first series of Feud, I was already really excited for season two. But add to that the fact that I've also been a huge fan of Capote's writing for as long as I can remember. And I've been looking for a UK air date every other week because of this. So far, there is very little information. Everybody is just assuming that here in the UK, we will see it on Disney Plus because that's where you can find the first series of Feud. So fingers crossed. And if I get a date anytime soon, I will let you know. It aired in the US on Hulu back on January the 31st. So they've had a few episodes so far. I believe even one of the episodes is shot completely in black and white. So I just can't wait for us to get a date. I'm trying to avoid spoilers, but I also already know quite a bit about this story. I've read most of Capote's short stories, as well as his novella Breakfast at Tiffany's, which of course inspired a film that was highly stylish and stylized and influential, but also very politically incorrect. I've also read his brilliant In Cold Blood, which was a non-fiction novel that became the second best-selling true crime book ever. And I've also read a lot of books about Capote himself, including Swan Song, which was a reimagining of his relationship with the Swans by Kelly Greenberg Jeffcoat. Unfortunately, it's Capote's amazing ability to tell stories that actually really spells the beginning of his downfall. Not only did he have the ability to tell stories, he was also very good at listening, and that meant that he got to hear so many stories about his Swans' lives. He would hear all the little juicy bits that they would confide in him, but of course they wouldn't want everybody knowing about it. He got to hear other people's truths that maybe they didn't want telling, and that is the whole premise of the Swans series, really. The show is set in the 60s and 70s, and some of it is set in the 80s as well. And during that time, it looks at how Capote's relationship with his beloved Swans changed. These Manhattan Society friends included magazine editors, actresses, models, and socialites, many of whom were married to powerful men in the media and beyond. I like to think that we could think of these Swans as the original influencers because really they were the women that everyone was watching. They were looking at their hair, their makeup, what they wore. And Capote became close with many of these women. And I do think there was real friendship and actually real love there. He once wrote of Babe Paley, "Mrs. P had only one fault. She was perfect. Otherwise, she was perfect." I do think there was a lot of love there between both he and the Swans. I also think he must have begun to find it utterly addictive that he was privy to their most private secrets. I think it made him feel special, but also I think something must have clicked in him to think, if I was able to share these stories, what epic reading material that would make. His plan was to unearth many of these stories, with the names changed, of course, in the form of the book Answered Prayers. Unfortunately, he didn't get to finish the book. It was only published after his death in 1984. But a taster of it was shared in Esquire magazine's November 1975 issue. That story was called La Côte Basque, and the story was labelled a literary missile because it not only tore apart the lives of these women, it ruined Capote's relationships with society at large and sent him into a downward spiral that he would never recover from. The FX network said of the show, "Enchanted and captivated by these doyens, Capote ingratiated himself into their lives, befriending them and becoming their confidant, only to ultimately betray them by writing a thinly veiled fictionalization of their lives, exposing their most intimate secrets." Suffice to say, it's a great story. I mean, it's sad because it's true, but we've always had a love for gossip, let's be real. I feel in America, it's very different to how it is here in the UK. I think the UK pretends to keep people's business private, whereas in America, you can be in a supermarket and there'll be a magazine talking about the latest exploits of whoever on the front cover. There's always been a thirst for this. So you can imagine at the time, the stir that him bringing out an entire book of these secrets would have caused. I'll definitely leave a link, by the way, to the original Esquire article for you in the show notes. Now, while this is a Ryan Murphy production, it's directed by Gus Van Sant, who is a director known for films such as Drugstore Cowboy, My Own Private Idaho, and one of my favourites, Good Will Hunting. The series is based on a book by Lawrence Lima. It's actually a bestseller called Capote's Women, A True Story of Love, Betrayal, and a Swan Song for an Era. So that's just a little bit of background for you. Let's get into the looks. As you can imagine, with this kind of era-sweeping show, hair and makeup, as well as wardrobe, was so essential to making each episode and character as believable as possible. The series specifically focuses on six women. We've got CZ Guest, played by my fave, Chloe Sevigny, Babe Paley, played by Naomi Watts, Slim Keith, played by Diane Lane, Lee Radziwill, who was the sister of Jackie Kennedy, is played by Calista Flockhart, Anne Woodward is played by Demi Moore, and Molly Ringwald stars as Joanne Carson. Without even seeing an episode, I've obviously seen a lot of trailers and imagery, and I do think that this casting makes sense. And in particular, I'm really keen to see Chloe, Calista, and Demi play their roles. When it comes to the looks, my first port of call was the hair, because it's such an important factor when it comes to showing these women's characters, their style, their background, and maybe even their budget. I feel that hair is an indication of income for sure. I did reach out to hairstylist Chris Clark, who is the production's wig designer and Naomi Watts' personal hairstylist, but unfortunately, I never heard back from his PR person. However, I have read several interviews with Chris, and he's also worked on several other Murphy shows, by the way, including Pose and American Crime Story. Apparently, Chris used 5 wigs to turn Naomi Watts into Babe Paley, and working with Wigmaker Associates, he was able to custom build 21 wigs. In an interview on Fashionista.com, he said he was looking at around $30,000 worth of wigs. Also, speaking of hair, I should mention actor Tom Hollander, who's playing Capote. I feel that I'm going to go on about the women in this show, but of course, Tom is crucial because he's playing Truman. While the female cast got to wear all the wigs, Tom actually allowed the hair crew to shave his entire head. So I have to give him props for that, because he could have insisted on prosthetics. They could have given him a bald cap, but I guess he just wanted to make things more real. So he shaved his head completely. When it comes to the wardrobe, Lou Eirich was in charge of styling the Swans, and she has worked with Ryan Murphy since 1999. In an interview on the Run Through with Vogue podcast, Eirich said that throughout their working relationship, Murphy had often referenced the Swans, even when they were working on various other shows. And I think this is why the show looks so rich when it comes to the references, because the idea has clearly been brewing in Murphy's mind for years. In that same interview, which also features Chloe Sevigny, by the way, who plays CZ Guest, as I mentioned, Eirich said she had wanted the wardrobe on the Swans to be 90% vintage, but it ended up being closer to 60%, and they had to make the rest of the outfits. They even called in the iconic American designer Zac Posen to specifically design 8 dresses for the legendary Black and White Ball, which was a masquerade hosted by Capote in 1966 at the Plaza Hotel in New York. This is just a moment in fashion history. If you don't know about the Black and White Ball, go spend some time on Google, because the outfits and the masks are stunning. So without telling you the entire story of the Swans, I think now is the perfect time that we segue into makeup, and I share my interview with the show's head makeup artist, Jackie Rizzotto. Jackie recently won the award for best period and or character makeup on the Bradley Cooper movie Maestro at the recent Makeup Artists and Hairstylists Awards, alongside 3 other makeup crew. In 2019, she won an Emmy for Outstanding Makeup for a Limited Series or Movie, Non-Prosthetic, for another FX show, Fosse Verdun, which was a mini-series on the life of actor and choreographer Bob Fosse. More recently, she's worked on Only Murders in the Building. Jackie sat down with me to talk about the makeup looks she worked on for Capote versus the Swans before she headed off to work on a brand new FX series called Dying for Sex. I start off by asking her, how far in advance did she begin planning for the show?
2.5-3 months. Yeah.
That's a lot.
No, it's not, but it's more than, you know, most people get in this day and age. So
really?
I'm happy. Yeah.
So talk me through, what's the first thing? It's a conversation with someone, they want to book you.
Yeah. The first thing was I got booked. They told me that they wanted me to do the job. And I immediately just started, you know, and even so, I had done my research before that, like even in the interview process and everything. But yeah, as soon as I knew it was official, I was like, really like, let's go, hit the ground running, started researching each character, even further, putting my books together, my research binders, researching each actor that had been cast at that point, you know, getting visuals of them, putting, you know, that binder together. And then, you know, I had come off of Maestro right before that, which was a period movie. So I did still have a lot of my reference photos and reference images from Maestro, because that, you know, different decades, like there was like, you know, we correlated. So I just like got those out, started, you know, really putting in more information in there with like, just like adding, you know, more facial hair and fingernail colors and shapes and polishes and finishes. And, so I just really started getting my binders together and started, you know, getting into the whole thing.
One binder per character. So it's to a lot of bits of paper, I'm guessing.
It was a lot of bits of paper. Yeah. And then of course my Truman binder, because his character was so unique in the sense that we saw him through the 50s through the 80s. So he was he's the character we see, you know, through most of the decades. And I really just wanted to make sure that I was able to get his look right for each decade and each, like, not only just the decade, but like where he was in his life. So yeah, lots of paper.
So when it comes to Truman, does that mean you were doing a lot of prosthetics as well?
So we did not do any prosthetics because Ryan, you know, did not want there to be prosthetics for this one, which, you know, I like to do prosthetics. So I was like, oh, but then I was like, you know what? It's cool and challenging in a different way, because now I have to use a different part of my brain. So how do I achieve this without using that? And I kind of like doing that. It's a little bit more, you know, smoke and mirror-y type, like illusion and stuff. But Yeah, no prosthetics. Like, I can walk you through, you know, like when Tom's younger, playing younger Truman, I would use a product to kind of like tighten up his eye, whatever natural eye bags he would have. Mm-hmm. I would use a lift on his neck to kind of like, because Tom had put on weight for the role. So we would lift his neck. We would, you know, take down his eye bags. We would like make his complexion more healthy and glowy and dewy. And, you know, like little tips and tricks. I would darken his lashes a little, do a little bit more under his eyes. And then as he got older, you know, we lost the lifts. I think starting in the 70s, we lost the lifts. And we, you know, I started like showing his eye bags more and like enhancing them depending on, oh, did he just wake up from drinking too much? Did this happen, then that? And then, you know, I broke up his skin with like using, you know, like my stipple sponge and kind of just like making it more red and like rosacea-y and like, you know, I use the makeup psoriasis to make it look dry, at age spots. So there's like, you know, there's, wow. It's a lot. It was a lot, but it was great.
It sounds it. I mean, how many hours a day would you be spending on makeup?
In the trailer in the morning, like getting everyone ready when we had like the full house, it was probably like 3 or 4 hour pre-calls sometimes.
And then you have to be there all day, I assume.
Yeah.
To touch up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, taking everybody down at the end, getting, you know, hair, getting the wigs off and us getting the makeup off, the lashes and this and that. Like, it was just, yeah, it was very long days.
But it was worth it. Lips. I want to know if I can do it myself.
Yeah, they make them that you can do them yourself. They're the ones I got were the Mark Trainers for Tom, but they sell them on Amazon. But it's basically an adhesive that we would, you know, stick on the side.
Yeah.
And then you stretch it and pull the skin and then you stretch it back and it just gives the illusion of, you know, a very tight young neck.
Oh my gosh, I love it. So, you know, when you mentioned about getting your binders together, were there specific places that you went to get inspiration? Would it be online? Was it the library? Like, how do you even gather those resources together?
Yeah, you know, I have like online obviously is a huge resource, but I do have like some reference books that I've had, you know, makeup reference books that I've had for years. And, you know, the Capote's Women book, like that was a good reference because there's so many, like there's visuals in it. So yeah, I just gathered material. Like we had a lot in our producers, email chains that they would find and send pictures and, you know, videos around like from the black and white ball and stuff. So everyone was like really collaborative and working together to just like get as much material, as many images as possible and get it out to everyone so that we were all on the same page and everyone had the same drive and passion, you know, to do like the best they could do. So it just became like a nice big like family collaboration.
Do you ever, because you mentioned the black and white ball there, which is like, I've got it, you know, the images from that will be in my head forever. Just stunning.
Yeah.
Do you have a specific kind of scene that's your favorite from the show? Or do you find that it's all the same to you? It's just like, need to get it all perfect.
Like a specific scene?
Yeah. That I mean, that you favor, like you were looking forward to doing or really enjoyed doing.
Yeah, you know, gosh, it's so hard to narrow it down because when Tom's character Truman is like drunk in his house, those scenes are so powerful and Tom is so powerful. You know, so like those were really intense to watch. But then we have scenes where we have all the women at Le Cote Basque at the restaurant. And then you have, you know, Naomi Watts, Calista, Diane Lane, Chloe, Demi. Like, so then it's like, wow, this is really iconic and amazing and surreal that I'm here. So it's just so hard to choose when you have so many heavy hitters and so many talented actors like in one place.
You're lucky, basically.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I know, trust me. Feeling very, very blessed. So
out of all the characters, whose was the most challenging to define?
I think probably Truman.
I thought you were going to say that because it's...
Yeah, you know, the women were amazing, and they each brought their own, you know, power to the show. But, you know, Truman really, the ups and downs of his character, you know, just like what he was going through mentally, and, you know, Tom and I really wanting to convey that through the makeup as well. Mm-hmm. And through like where he was in his life. And just, you know, there's a scene later on, it hasn't aired yet, but, you know, Truman's on TV, and that makeup was a little tricky to get right because Truman in real life, like, looked, you know, like he was drunk and he didn't look great, but he had makeup on to be on television and was like sweating. So we, instead of like, you know, us being like, okay, well, we should do our regular makeup. And we're like, no, you know, like he had makeup on at this particular point. So it's like, how do I make him look like he has makeup on, he's on TV, but he's unwell, you know? So it's
like layers.
Yeah, but it's me. But also at the same token, like not making it look too made up or overdone for our TV, you know. So it's, yeah, it was a little bit of a mind game to try and nail all those like particular pieces.
I can't wait to see that scene because, like I said, I've read quite a few books on him, and I know there's a book that talks about him appearing on TV, and it's something that he probably shouldn't have done.
No, probably not. You know, but Tom's just so, I mean, he's, I can't say enough amazing things about him. And you'll see when you see, oh gosh, he just.
Some pretty evil guys over here in the UK on a lot of UK shows.
Yeah.
So to see him playing Truman, I was like, I have to. I thought it was amazing casting.
Yeah, I agree with you. It really was. The casting of the show is just fabulous. It was like once in a lifetime, you know.
So I wanted to ask you about key makeup products, but I feel like, first of all, I have to say, I saw that you posted about Pat McGrath.
Yes.
And I was
the queen. That you was. Oh, which color are you wearing?
This is Elson 3.
Oh, love
and
it.
And I just bought
beautiful.
The Marc Jacobs one.
Love the Marc Jacobs.
I literally just got my Pat McGrath. That's when my phone was going. I've just turned it off. It said, your Pat McGrath delivery is due today.
You're like, yay!
So Pat McGrath is so ultra modern. We've all been talking about her since the glass skin at Margiela.
I know.
But you're creating these retro looks and you still reach for Pat. So do you want to break down just a few of the products specifically from Pat, and then we'll go into some other.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we obviously, the lipstick, the matte trance, we used a ton of that, like the Elson and Elson 2, Forbidden Love, I think. Yeah, there was like a ton. And then the mascara, like the Fetish Eyes, we loved. The permaliner, because it's just so thick and beautiful, and it really gave us those, you know, those 60s eyes. Skin Fetish. I mean, I could go on and on. We used a ton. The blush.
Tell me
the
Divine
what you know about blush.
Skin Fetish, because I'm always deciding. I'm always like, should I try it? Should I try it as a foundation?
You should try it.
What do you love about it?
I think it's long, like long lasting, you know, and I think it just like gives such a, you know, it gives you flawless skin, but without looking too overdone or too made up. And I think that that's what really worked for us too on, you know, Capote, Truman, not on Truman, but on the show. Yeah. Because these women are just so effortlessly beautiful. And so we wanted to convey that through their skin. So that was like a good go-to.
So how many decades is it covering? Is it the 60s to the 80s or is it before the 60s?
It's the 50s to the 80s. But you see Truman the 50s to the 80s. Okay. The other women you see, Naomi, I believe, is the 50s through the 70s because, you know, them being Paley, you know, yeah. Is sick. And then the other women, I believe it's 60s and 70s. So Truman's who we really carry through.
Right. When it comes to the women's characters, what would you say was like the key look for the 50s, and how did that change as the decades changed?
Yeah, well, key look for the 50s, I think we, you know, leaned into a lot of the reds. you know, red lipsticks and like lighter eyes, but with like heavier liners. And then, you know, fuller brows. And then for the 60s, you know, it was all about the eyes, paler lips, you know, the cut crease in the eye socket, lashes, bottom lashes, which is, you know, the 60s is just such a fun decade for makeup. And then for the 70s, you know, it was like a little more subdued, a little more natural, a little more earthy kind of tones. But these women always had makeup on. So we kind of like in my research, we followed these women, you know, through different time periods. And we just tried to stay as true as we could to the character, but also to the actor and what colors worked for them and also to the time period. So there's really a lot you have to take into consideration, especially when you're doing like eyebrow shapes and lip shapes and colors. It's not like so black and white. You got to pull from like really like three different places.
Wow. We're going to go into this quick fire round.
Okay.
And let's imagine that nobody at home knows what any of the swans look like. I'm going to give you the five key swans names, and I just want you to instantly give me something that sums up their look. It can be makeup, it can be hair, it could be...
Okay, we could do this.
You ready?
Okay. I think so.
So my favorite, because it's Chloe, CZ Guest.
I would say for her, it was the lips.
And what were the lips? Were they always pale?
We did do a bit of pale, corally pink, which you don't really see Chloe in real life wear too much. So we tried to, you know, adjust it for her. But there's just really beautiful shots. She's got beautiful lips, and we just used very, you know, colors that were complimentary to her, but also, you know, stayed true to CZ.
Okay. Babe Paley.
Lashes, girl.
Okay. Stacks.
Yeah, you know, so Kira Pantanko did her makeup, and Kira's amazing, but stacked. She was all about the eyes, babe. So I would say eyes. They look incredible.
Lee Radziwill.
Lee liner. We loved a top liner on Lee. Calista really could carry a nice heavy liner on top.
Nice. Anne Woodward.
Hair. Her hair was fierce.
Is it quite big?
Yes. But it looks beautiful onto me. And it's just, her hair always, it looked 100%.
She looks stunning. In all of the trailers I've seen, I'm like, I'm loving the color of the colors that Demi's wearing on her hair, her makeup, her clothes.
Thank you. Yeah, she was a lot of fun. I mean, I was honored to be able to do Demi Moore's makeup. So.
Slim Keith.
With Slim, I would say lips, because we always tried to carry a red on her, or at least like a corally, because that was really true too. And so with Diane, you know, she's a little more of an olivey undertone, so we wanted to stay true to Slim, because Slim usually had a lighter eye and like more of a lip. Mm-hmm. And then just figuring out what colors worked for Diane was really fun. And then, yeah, we just stuck with that. Diane loved the red lip, and it's not something she normally wore. So kind of like CZ, like, you know, for their character. So it was cool to like take these women to a different, you know, to a different time with the makeup.
It's so cool. It's almost like if they were here now, what could you do with them, you know?
Yeah. They were also gorgeous. So. Yeah.
So that's it. I think I've got some good stuff there. Just going back to Pat McGrath.
Mm-hmm.
She broke the internet with this whole face masks and water. Aside from the actual colors and stuff, what is, as someone in your job, what is the thing that you use the most on everybody? Like you cannot live without on set.
For Pat McGrath general?
Because everyone just went down this route of trying to find out what it was. And they were like, it's Skin Illustrator and it was Kryolan. But what is the thing when you're on set that is just essential to your job?
I would have to say MAC blot powder.
What? Really? A powder? I thought, I didn't know if you were going to say some weird solution or...
I think because, you know, we work under so many hot lights and it gets really warm on set. People are always sweating. And the camera will really pick up a lot of shine and it just becomes distracting on camera, especially if that's not what you're going for. Because even when you are going for more of that look, we use a different product, like a 200 fluid or something. And MAC blot powder, I mean, for years has just been our saving grace in terms of taking the shine down on like everyone, like no matter skin texture, skin like tone, skin color, like it just, you know, they come in a variety of colors, obviously, but it just knocks that shine right down.
I'm buying that today, Jackie, because what you said, I am always telling people this. They ask me about, like, I make a lot of TikTok content and I am always struggling because looking dewy in real life is lovely. Looking dewy on camera, it just doesn't work. It makes the light really harsh.
Yeah.
And yes. I'm always looking for that finish that's like, you know, this would be gone and this would
be gone. I have to say, I mean, ever since I started doing makeup like 14 years ago or something, that's always been like a very solid, and I've tried other things and there's so many other good powders too. This one I think is good to have in your set bag too because it's pressed. You just pop it open, boom, 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 done.
Right, I'm getting it.
Saving grace.
Thank you. So have you got a crazy, hectic day ahead?
You know, I'm prepping for a new job that we start shooting next Friday with Michelle Williams. I'm very excited. She's a dear, dear friend. So it's called Dying for Sex. It's about it was a podcast about this woman. Her name is Molly, and she finds out she has terminal cancer, and she, you know, divorces her husband, and because she realizes like they're not happy and she has only so much time to live, and starts kind of exploring her sexuality and stuff. So it's going to be really good. The scripts are amazing. The podcast is amazing. And Michelle's playing Molly, and we start that next Friday. So I'm in prep mode right now.
That's so exciting. And didn't you win an Emmy working with Michelle?
I did. Yeah.
I started watching that on iPlayer. I need time to, because I'm obsessed with Fosse himself, you know, the dancing, just the choreography, the clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
So congrats on that as well. Obviously, that's in your past. But
yeah, thank you. No, I mean, I still look at those makeups and I was like, am I sure I did that? Like, it feels like seems so far away. I'm like, God, I can't, like, it's just everything, you know, it's become so surreal. So.
Well, I hope you know how many, like, you, that's why my podcast exists and even my TikToks. I'm always getting people saying, thank you for talking about the person that did that rather than.
Yeah, I know. I really appreciate it, you know, because it's so much behind the scenes, you know.
Hours and hours. Yeah.
And I couldn't do it all without my team. Like, I have just had the best team on Feud, and, you know, I couldn't have done it without them. So I'm just so grateful, like, to every person that came on, every additional, everyone, like, that helps, you know, make this show what it is. It's just, I couldn't be more grateful.
Cool. Enjoy it all. I can't wait. I'm going to look up this podcast immediately.
Yes. It's heartbreaking, but it's beautiful.
I can sense that already. I can sense that. I mean, that's a heavy topic. And obviously a reminder to, like, live your life.
Mm-hmm. You just don't know.
You don't. But thank you so much for taking
time. Thank you. Oh my gosh, it was such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
I loved chatting with Jackie about the behind the scenes, and she really made me realize the importance of Tom Hollander's transformation into Capote. I said earlier, I think it's easy for me to just fall in love with the female characters because I can put myself there. But it's clear that a lot of work went into this from the team, whatever the gender of the characters. I really cannot wait to see the show even more now. If you want to know more about Jackie, I will, of course, share a link to her Instagram in the show notes. And we also heard Jackie mention Naomi Watts' personal makeup artist there, Kira Pachenko. So I'll also share a link to Kira's Instagram too. Before I say goodbye, I have to say thank you to Jackie for putting me onto that MAC Cosmetics Blot Powder. I actually think I used to use it a really long time ago, but I don't think I ever used it with fixing sprays. I've been using this with my MAC Fix Plus Stay Over Spray. And when I went out for my birthday dinner last week, my makeup did not budge. No shine came through whatsoever. It was a miracle. If you're someone that gets oily in the T-zone like me, honestly, this blot powder is so good. I think I'm probably going to make a review episode all about it. So thank you for that, Jackie. In the meantime, if you're one of my listeners from outside of the UK and you've seen the series already, please let me know what you think. Get in touch over on the DMs at Beauty Me Podcast on Instagram with your review of the show, because I'm just dying to see it. By the way, if you want to learn more about the interview I mentioned earlier on the run through with Vogue with the costume designer Lou Eirich and actress Chloe Sevigny, I'll share a link in the show notes for you. Let me know when you're listening, by the way. You can always tag me on Instagram at Beauty Me Podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, I'd love it if you could leave a review or a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you're listening. Don't forget, there's also a newsletter that you can subscribe to and read for free at beautymenotes.substack.com. And I'll be sharing lots of images of the actual swans as well as the actors playing them in the new series. Also, of course, I will be making a video about this episode, and you'll be able to find that on Instagram and my TikTok at Charisse Kenyon. That's it for now. Thanks for listening.